Hello, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If you've been with me for a while, thanks for coming back. It certainly means the world to me. I want to pop in and let you know that this episode is sponsored by Learning Essentials. They specialize in bridging learning gaps and helping families access special education support and services that they need, whether it's through specialized tutoring for dyslexia, strategic writing, or executive function coaching. We also have a course called Cracking the Code, here to empower you and your kiddo. But before we dive in, I'd love for you to do me a quick favor. If you find value in this episode, please like, share, review. It's the small things that make a big difference in helping more families like yours find the resources. And don't forget to check out Learning Essentials EDU for more tools and strategies to help your kiddo thrive. So let's get started. Today, we're talking about inclusive practices in IEPs, so supporting participation in general education settings. What exactly are inclusive practices? So let's lay the groundwork first. So inclusive practices are teaching approaches designed to meet the diverse needs of all students in a classroom. So these practices go beyond simply placing students with learning differences in general education classes. They aim to ensure meaningful participation and engagement. And when you're at an IEP table, I want you to think about that, ensuring meaningful participation and engagement. So when we're making decisions, remember at an IEP table, needs drive services. And so I want you to think about how a student can have those meaningful and engaging opportunities. And this is why it matters, right? So it matters for belonging, equal access, and skill building. So every kiddo deserves to feel like they are part of that classroom community. And then inclusion ensures that all students are going to have access to that same educational opportunity. And also it provides encouragement, collaboration, adaptability, critical thinking. So there are some barriers to inclusion. So for students with dyslexia, dysgraphia, executive function challenges, the typical classroom demands can often feel overwhelming. Reading out loud, taking notes, managing time might be difficult. So, however, inclusive practices such as differentiated instruction, assistive technology can help break down these barriers for our kiddos. So let's just do a quick overview of IDEA and LRE. So under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, schools must educate children with disabilities in the least restrictive environment. This means that whenever possible, students should learn alongside their same peers, their same age peers, in a general education classroom. How does the IEP support inclusion? So an IEP, that Individualized Education Plan or Program, is going to serve as that roadmap for meeting your kiddo's unique needs. It's going to outline the goals, the accommodations, the services, the supports that they need in the inclusion setting. So how can you advocate for these inclusive practices? Setting measurable goals using those SMART goal format, ensuring that IEPs include goals that are encouraging participation in the general education setting, whether it's group work, whether it's oral presentations, but again, it's along what is best for that particular kiddo, that unique learning profile. Specifically looking at accommodations, requesting supports that are going to enable your kiddo the access to the curriculum, whether it's audiobooks for students with dyslexia, a keyboard for a student with dysgraphia, thinking about what kind of accommodations can support and help level that playing field for your kiddo. And then also pushing for professional development, advocating that for teacher training. And yes, you can put that in your IEP, teacher training on strategies that will support students with learning differences. So especially if you're transitioning to a different school building, a different teacher, there's things that work really well for your student. Ensure that they are discussed at the IEP table, ensure that they are implemented and put into the IEP so that it does become that individualized education program. And yes, you can request in an IEP for that teacher training component. And when you're thinking about measurable goals and you're thinking about accommodations, again, I want you to prioritize what works really well for your student, what has worked in the past, things that are not being used, and having that conversation is really critical. For example, students with dyslexia, multisensory instruction, right? So engaging those multiple senses during lessons, such as using hands-on activities or visual aids, assistive technology like text-to-speech software can also make reading more accessible. And then chunking our assignments, so breaking assignments into smaller, manageable parts. These are all things that you can ask for, and they can also be put into an IEP for action and support. For students with dysgraphia, perhaps you could seek keyboarding accommodation, so allowing typing instead of handwriting for the assignment, graphic organizers to help our students structure their ideas before writing, or voice-to-text tools to help them dictate their thoughts. For a student perhaps with executive function challenges, maybe a visual schedule to give them that clear roadmap for a day or a lesson, a checklist that again is going to help break tasks into step-by-step instructions, and time management tools such as timers or apps to help keep track of assignments. Working with collaboration and flexibility in mind is going to help an inclusive classroom thrive. So really try to encourage your kiddos' teachers to pair students with peers if that is helpful for group activities, offer multiple ways to demonstrate learning, such as whether it's oral or creative projects, and differentiate instructions to meet the varying needs within that same lesson. And I found is when coaching parents through this process is having these conversations ahead of time, creating that collaborative connection with the teachers that are supporting your student. And again, then prioritizing and helping guide the teacher the best way that can work so that the teacher feels that they're not having to recreate the wheel, that the teacher feels like, okay, these are some great suggestions and we can easily implement them within the classroom setting. And oftentimes, a lot of what you're working on with your student is going to be better accessible for other students that may not be on an IEP but are in your classroom, and just really best practices for teaching. We always want to have that positive partnership with our school to the best of our ability. Really does become the key to successful inclusion. Always start with empathy. You know, if you're asking, well, Wendy, how do we foster this collaboration? Start with empathy and approach conversations with an open mind and assume good intentions, because it's really hard sometimes when we are feeling overwhelmed as a parent to think that others are maybe not doing what needs to be done. But if we can really lead with that empathy and start those conversations with an open mind, oftentimes things tend to really meld together and work out and be successful. Really be specific as a parent. Provide examples of what works for your kiddo, particular strategies or tools. Be specific, provide those examples. That way, again, just what I had said a couple minutes ago, is that a teacher may not feel as overwhelmed. They're going to feel like, oh, this is easy to implement within my classroom setting. Always follow up after a meeting. Send a summary email to ensure everyone is on the same page. I think it's a really great way to do that, because when you're in a meeting, there's a lot of people, papers back and forth. And so having that summary is super helpful. If it is an IEP meeting, this is also going to help drive your prior written notice, that form that's going to come after the meeting to identify what was discussed, what was approved, what was not approved, and why. So if there's any confusion, always say, can you put it, I need to see that in the prior written notice. So you have evidence and documentation of the conversation and what is happening. Always ask questions, bring questions ahead of time. Questions you may ask are, how are inclusive practices being implemented in my specific kiddo's classroom? That way you know specifically with a teacher what that's going to look like. What training do teachers receive to support students with learning differences is a great question, especially if you're looking with working with a general education teacher to ensure that they're really understanding. And then, are there opportunities for my kiddo to participate in group work or extracurricular activities? If so, what does that look like and how? And again, all of this information can then be put into your parent input statement if this is an IEP, of kind of what it works, what does it look like? So that really, again, you're bringing in that conversation with the team or your kiddo and having it everything documented. Now, of course, challenges can arise, and how do we overcome those challenges if inclusion isn't happening as planned? Always do not hesitate. Request a team meeting to revisit that IEP. Use data to show where gaps exist and suggest just solutions. I've done some podcasts on this in terms of how to document what is working at home and the community and school so that you can bring that data. So we're leading with data and not feelings, which is super hard. I get it when you're coming from that place of fear and love, but you're always better received than you've had some time to kind of flush out, prioritize, and think what is working so that you can really come to the table as a team member, as you should, and being empowered. You know, it does happen. You can always escalate your concerns through that formal process if necessary. You do get your parental rights at the beginning of each IEP meeting, so you do have that understanding and you have that right of what you can do. So kind of just sum up everything we just talked about. And so inclusion, we know, is more about the placing a kiddo in the general education classroom. It's about creating that environment where every student feels valued and supported. You know, we talked about inclusive practices, ensuring that belonging, that equal access, and meaningful participation. The IEP is a powerful tool to help advocate for that inclusion for your kiddo, and always collaboration with the school is essential to make this inclusion successful. Remember, inclusion is a journey, and together, we're gonna make it happen. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and review. And don't forget to check out Learning Essentials at learningessentialsedu.com for specialized tutoring, coaching, and resources like our IEP course, Cracking the Code, and plus, obviously, listening to more of our episodes of The Special Ed Strategist. Thanks for being with me today. See you next time. Bye for now.